So let us begin. I gave a shiur yesterday on this. I actually did this yesterday, so a little bit of chazara over here. So we're starting on Nun Ches Omud Beis, about 6-7 lines up in the bottom. So this is a very difficult to understand discussion that the Gemara's have at the beginning. It's not hard for us to understand the words, just very hard to understand these concepts. And they obviously mean much deeper things than we're going to go into here in the shiur. So Shmuel's going to bring down a contradiction in some psukim over here that deal with shooting stars, which was discussed at the end of yesterday's shiur that you had. So Shmuel said in one pasuk, it says in Eov, Ksiv Ose Ash Kisil V'Kim Kima. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these three constellations, these series of stars over here. Ash, Ksil, and Kima. So Ksil is number two, Kima is number three. And then in another pasuk, it says, Ksiv, Ose Kima, Uksil. He makes Kima and then Ksil. So which one does he make first? Oh, we're also learning today, that's right, thank you. Lilu Nishmas, Andre Goldgrab. Andre Bas Chaim Shimon. Shom, all the Shomas we learn for Shavin Aliyah. So how come the Psukim relate these two makings of these stars by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different orders? So HaKetzat. So Gemara says, why is it in this different order over here? So Gemara says, Ilmale Chama Shoksil. If it wasn't for the heat of Ksil, Lo Niskayim Olam, but Metzina Shokima. The coldness of Kima, exactly what that means, we don't fully understand, but the heat of Ksil, which is the name of one of the constellations, or stars, so that heat is nullifying and neutralizing the very cold aspects of Kima, and vice versa. V'mali tzina shel Kima, if it wasn't for the coldness of Kima, l'niskayim ol mecham shel Ksil, the heat of Ksil would destroy the world. Again, what exactly this means, we're not sure, but there basically are counterbalances over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world to negate the potential negative consequences of each. We have a Kabbalah. Ilav uksa diakrova, the monach ben haridi. Now, if it wasn't for this other constellation, Rashi says this is the znav of the akrov, certain like the tail of the scorpion. I'm not sure what exactly constellation this is referring to. If it wasn't for the fact that that was in this area known as Nahar Dinor, Rashi says this allows it to somehow, Mateshes Kocho over here, Rashi says by placing it in that place, it nullifies and neutralizes the powers of this constellation of Akrav. So if it wasn't for that, so kol man dahavi trika le akrava, anybody who's ever bitten by a scorpion, lo havichai, wouldn't be able to survive. And therefore, v'hainu d'karmalei rechman liyo, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yov, his kasher ma'adonos kima, o moshachos kisil tiftach, would you be able to survive the heat of Kima, or the coldness of Ksil. So you wouldn't be able to survive either of them, the heat of Ksil or the coldness of Kima. That these are things that expand and contract. That's what it says, Hiskasher. Would be able to bind it up, because the heat would make it expand, and would be able to close it in, the cold would make it contract. Okay, what exactly is this Kima, my Kima? So it sounds like it's one star, but it's actually many stars. I'm sure Kimeya Kochvi. It is like 100. The word Kima is a play on the word Kimeya. So therefore, it's like 100 stars. So others, some say Amilah de Mekanfi. Some say that they are all gathered in together. The Amilah de Mevadrim. They're spread apart. When we look at the sky today, when we know, so we can see a little light there by a fancy, powerful telescope, it actually represents thousands, if not millions of stars. So it's certainly not surprising over here that Chazal knew and understood this idea that some light in the sky could represent actually many, many stars. So now we explain Ksil and Kima. What about Ash? There was another Kochav that was mentioned over there. My Ash. What is Ash? I'm a Yuda. Yuta. It's a star known, or constellation known as Yuta. My Yuta. What is Yuta? I'm a Znav Tlet. This is the tail end of the constellation known as the Tlet. Or other say, Ramalei, Reish of the Agla. It's the head of the constellation of Egel, of the Agla. So Gemara says, it makes sense, Mistavro, Kaman Diyom is Nov Tle. It makes more sense that it's the tail over here of the constellation known as Tle, to say, the Ayish Alboneo Tinachem, that Ayish will ultimately be comforted the loss of her children. Now, what is this talking about? Amo Chaser, it implies that she somehow was missing something. Something was taken from her. Umischazia, and it was filled in, it looks like, Kitarfa de Tarif. Rashi has two different explanations. Over here, this is like a hammer that's banging on something to flatten it out, so it fills in the space of things that were taken from over there, or it was like some sort of a glue that's binding it together, and it fills in the space. In other words, something was lost from this constellation. The Azla Basra, and it makes sense that it's chasing after the thing that took it from her, so therefore that's why it says it makes sense that it's the tail over here that is chasing after something rather than the head. Okay. The Amar Lo, and she's saying, Kavi Yochel, Havli B'ni, give me back my children. In other words, the stars that were taken from me. What in the world is this talking about? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the marvel on the world, so how did he do this, so to say? What was that pathophysiology over here? How did he accomplish this bringing the marvel? So he took two stars out of the firmament. He took two stars out over here from Kima, from this constellation, these 100 stars of Kima, and that allowed the deluge to come down from Shemayim. Devi Mabul Yolam. And that brought about the Mabul over here from onto the world. Okay. Ukishabikesh Lasat. Well, no, after the 40 days of rain, so HaKadosh Baruch said it's going to stop raining. So Natal Shteko Chavmi Ayish. He plugged in the hole that he had made by taking the two stars from Kima, by taking two stars from Ayish, and plugging them in over there with Kima. Visatma, and he sealed the breach that he had made. No, why not just put back the two stars that he took out? The Lahadri law, bring back the two stars that he took out? No. Ein abor mismala michuyosu. You can't fill up a hole from the dirt that you took out of it. It just doesn't work that way. And therefore, he had to take new stars and put them in over there. So he took two stars from Ayish, and he put them into the constellation of Kima. Alternatively, Inami, ein kategor nasa senegor. The two stars that are taken out, they were like the prosecuting attorneys. So now they can't become the defense attorneys. So there's some ideas over here that are very practical and important for us that we see from this very strange Haggadah to Gemara. And it says that the person who's prosecuting can't then become the defense attorney. This is one of the reasons why we don't wear gold, for example, jewelry on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because we don't want to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, of the ego. So we don't want anything to be prosecuted. It can't serve in our defense in any way. In any event, the idea that he couldn't put back the two stars that he took out from Kima is because they had served in a negative way. Now they can't be put back to plug it up and serve in a positive way. Nu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why don't you just make two new stars? Why do you have to take two stars from Ash? Take two new stars out there. So again, this isn't the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here doesn't like to make new things in this world. In this world, he'll make plenty of new things. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu set the Bria into place. He set Teva, nature, into place. And only on rare occasions does HaKadosh Baruch Hu break the rules that he set up for Teva. So therefore, he didn't want to create two new stars. Creation is done. So therefore, he didn't want to create more stars. Therefore, he took two existing stars from Ash and put them into Kima. Amrach Nachman, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lazirullah. But eventually, they'll be returned. This is maybe a comfort to us that all of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does eventually we'll realize they're for good. Eventually we'll be comforted with them, and eventually everything will be restored to the way it should be. We'll eventually be comforted for the terrible things that had happened. Okay, again, a very a very deep Gemara. We'll go weiter. Bial has zivos on earthquakes. My zivos. What exactly are earthquakes? So I have Katina guha. It's something known as guha. They knew that word better than they knew zivos. That was the language they called for reidas aritz. Rashi says an earthquake. Rav Katina have a ka'azel beurcha. Rav Katina was going on the way. Kimato apisko devei Uva Tamya, and he was walking by the house of this necromancer known as Uva Tamya. Uva Tamya was a person, Rashi says, he dealt with Tamya, means bones over here. He would be able to either various predictions he could accomplish, he could see certain things, various means of Ov. This Uva, he practiced the Ov type of necromancy, and he did it with bones. Okay, whatever it exactly was. He passed by the house of this Uva Tamya, and Ganach Guha, and there was an earthquake. Right? It doesn't say how much it was on the Richter scale. So there was a big earthquake at that point right over there. Now, Omar, he said, Mia da Uva Tamya, Haigua Mahu. Maybe you, Uva Tamya, maybe you know what the cause is of this earthquake. Why do we have earthquakes? What's the purpose of earthquakes? Ramale Kala. So he called back. This Uva Tamya called back. He raised his voice and called back. Katina, Katina. He had no respect. He called him by his first name. He didn't call him Rav Katina. Katina, Katina, Amai Lo Yadana. Why don't you know? B'shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu zochez banav shishur mitzar. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers his children, Nebuchadnezzar, in pain and suffering, Bein umos olam, amongst the exile, morich de demos liyam ha-godol. He, so to say, drips down two tears. The two tears, the Mufarshim explain, represent both the physical and the spiritual persecution that we have in the Golos. So he drips down two tears that enter into the Yam HaGadol, either the Atlantic Ocean, the oceans, or the Mediterranean Sea. V'kolo nishma misofo olav yat sofo. And these sounds can be heard from one end of the world to the other. In other words, there's these drops when they fall into the ocean, so to say, they're what caused the earthquakes. V'haynu guha, that's an earthquake. Now, he actually is right. Before I should bring down, that he says that whatever this Agadita means over here, it wasn't wrong. But Rav Katina didn't want the people to think that this Uva Tamya had any knowledge. So therefore, he tells them, Rav Katina, Uva Tamya, Kadivu, you're a liar, Umile Kedivin, and your words in general are lies. So Gemara says, he tells him that wants to prove him wrong. Ihachi, if what you're saying is right, that there were two drops over here, then Guha, Guha, Miboyale. Every time that there's an earthquake, there should be two earthquakes. This should be the aftershock. But there isn't. So therefore, he says, there's only one earthquake. And therefore, your explanation is wrong. However, the Gemara acknowledges the Lohi. In fact, Gua Gua Ovid. There really are the aftershock. Behind the low old delay. So why didn't he want to say, Taka, that's a good explanation, Yasha Koyach? Ki hechi de lo lite kuliyama basre. So that everybody shouldn't go and follow after him. Say, whoa, he knew so much. So, Mistama, whenever he says anything, we should listen to him. And this Uva Tamya was not a good person. And therefore, he wanted to make sure that the people didn't follow after what Uva Tamya said. The Rambam brings down over here that's also to praise somebody who's doing idol worship. You're not supposed to praise them. You know, because otherwise people will say, whoa, this guy's an idol worshiper, and he said a good word, so Mustama, idol worship is good. So you're not supposed to praise idol worshippers. Now, what was Rav Katina's own thought over here? Rav Katina, the day, his own thought on this was, oh my, sofe kapov. Kadosh Baruch Hu was, so to say, clapping his hands together, kaviyochel. Now, again, whenever we have these anthropomorphisms over here, just to help us understand, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have hands. On the Ikram of the Rambam, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a Yad Chazakah, Zro and a Tuya. These are expressions that are used to help us understand the Gvura and unbelievable abilities of Kadosh Baruch Hu, which we're human beings, we can't comprehend. So we put it into language or words that we can understand. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyocho, claps his hands. Shenemar, V'gamani, Ake, Kapi, Kapi El Kapi, Vani Chosi Chamosi. That Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, is clapping his hands in anguish. And he's with us. I'm with you in sorrow over here. And he's clapping his hands over here and comforting himself. Rav Nosi gives a different answer. Rav Nosi Omer, Ancha Misaneach. This is a sigh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what causes the earthquake. Shenemar, Vanechosi Chamosi Bom. So I give out this krechts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sighs. And that's what causes the earthquakes. And finally, Rabbanan Omer, Amrei, Boet Barakia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, kicking the rakia, which is the bottom layer of Shemayim. Shemayim, hey dad, kidarchim yaneh, al koyoshi oretz. It's like the grape stompers. When they're, you know, they sing their song, so they stomp the grapes with enthusiasm, right? So when people are in on a march, they'll sing when they march, so it helps them march better. So people work, they sing while they work. So they'll work better. So to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is stomping on the grapes over here. He's putting his feet down on the floor, Kaviyocho. It doesn't have feet. So Kaviyocho hits the bottom of the Rakia layer. That causes the world to tremble, to have an earthquake. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, Dochek Yisraglu Tachas Kisi HaKavod. It's when he puts his feet down, Tachas Kisi HaKavod. And that's, so to say, in this world. Shenemar, Kol Hashem, HaShemayim Kisi. The Shemayim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne. The world is my footstool. So when he puts his feet down, so to say, so that causes the earthquakes. Again, very esoteric and difficult to understand the Gemara. Yerushalmi, it's two additional reasons. The Yerushalmi brings down, why do these zavos occur? So the Yerushalmi says, al eza avon zavos, well, what sin, what causes these earthquakes to come? So Rav Acha Omer Bishul Mishkav Zohar. Rav Acha says it's because of homosexuality. When people do all sorts of immoral things, and we learned already earlier, the Medrash Rabbah tells us that the reason why the Mabul came was because the people wrote ksubas between a man and a man. So therefore, this upsets HaKadosh Baruch Hu terribly, and so to say, you're making your limbs tremble in a certain way, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the world tremble in a certain way. And the Rabbanan Amre, Bibne Machlokis. The Rabbanan say, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the earthquake is because there's Machlokis. If you're fighting with each other, so to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the world fight with itself. And he makes all of these Machlokis. And he makes all the earthquakes because of the Machlokis that people have with each other. So again, very difficult for us to understand these actual ideas. We all know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world in a certain way. These are scientific things. We know we can predict or say earthquakes. So all these things that we have brachos on, and we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them because of certain things, yes, and he put them into the Bria, he put them into the Teva of the world, that they'll occur in a certain way. So they all agree that there's something that's causing it. Not necessarily a punishment. Some of them were HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to be Menachem. He's crying. The tears are crying. So not dafka punishment, but they're there to make us stop and think. The Gemara, for example, the next Gemara is going to talk about thunder. So the Mefarshim say there's absolutely no purpose for thunder in the world. It doesn't serve any purpose other than to make man tremble. So again, what's the purpose of earthquakes? I didn't see the Mandir say this about earthquakes, but Mestama, the same thing applies to thunder as well, to earthquakes as well. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu just put things into the Bria to make us stop and pause and realize there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and maybe we're doing something wrong. So next thing is Al HaRa'amim, on thunder. My Ra'amim, what is thunder? Am Shmuel, Anane Begalgala. The clouds in the sky are either knocking one to the other, or they're knocking against the sky in some way. Shnemar Kol Ramcha Begalgal. Heiru Brakim, the thunder in the sky, then you have the lightning, and Tevel Ragza, and the world trembles, Patirash Aretz, and the world is thundering. Okay. Rabbanan, that's the opinion over here of Shmuel. Rabbanan Amre, Anane Deshavche Mayel Adode, they're pouring water from one cloud to the other, that makes the thunderous noises. Shnemar, Lakol, Tisu Hamon Mayim Vishamayim. At the sound of the thunder, the water is going from one to the other. Rav Yaakov Amar, Bruarka Takifa. You have the lightning, the Barak Banana, that goes and hits the clouds. Umitvar gozes the Barza, and it shatters the pieces over here of Barza is hail. Others have the gears of Barda, so Barad. So it smashes the hail, and then it brings the rain. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says over here, Anane Chalchule, the Anonim are like hollow. Oh, here Rashi says chalulin kitzas. On the side says chalulin kitzas. It will hollow. Mechalchalei chalchule mechalchalei. Vasizika, and the winds come umnashev apumayim, and they sort of say blow over the top of the holes of the clouds, and they make a sound. V'dame, and this is similar, analogous kizika apum doni. Like if you have a hollow barrel and you blow a wind over it, so it makes a certain sound. And where it says, "Umistarvok Ravachav Yaakov," it makes sense, like Ravachav Yaakov said, because the order over there is exactly what happens. The Barik Barka, there's lightning first, Umanami Anone, and then it causes the noise over here in the clouds, the booming thunder, and then Vyasimitra, then the rain comes. So that order follows the natural pattern: that lightning comes first, then thunder, and then comes rain. Okay, again, a lot to be said about this, but we'll go weiter. Yala Ruchos, we make a bracha on ruchos, on winds. So when it says, my ruchos, what type of winds are we talking about? Zafa, this is a storm. It has to be strong winds, a hurricane. Rashi over here has the translation of Zafa. There's a foreign language word that's a mistake over here. It should be two words. It should be Sufa and Turbil. Sufa was the Aramaic term and Turbil was the French word. Turbil comes to the word turbulent. Right? So it means a hurricane, a tornado. Really, really strong winds. Zafa. We have a Kabbalah, the Zafa Belelya Lohavi. Of course, Baruch Hu doesn't make hurricanes at night. Where it says, but that's not true. We do see hurricanes at night. Where it says, no. How would be a mama? They always start during the daytime. In other words, you get a warning about a hurricane. Right? There's always events. We can recognize much more in advance. But the animals, they scurry around when you have a hurricane. People see that something's coming. And therefore, you can prepare for it better. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way, so to say, of saying there's going to be trouble, so you're batting down the hatches. We have a Kabbalah that hurricanes don't last. I'm using hurricanes with these strong winds. It could be tornadoes. It could be any other whirlwind that you want to use. I'm just using the word hurricane over here. So, yeah, Kabbalah, they don't last more than 2 hours. Low car. They don't last that long. Why? Like the pasuk says, in Nachum, lo tzakum pamayim tzara. It won't be 2 hours of the tzara, pamayim. Agmar says, Walker Chazinim Dekai, we do see hurricanes lasting more than 2 hours. No, where it says, the Masik Beni Beni. Maybe it's talking about the eye of the hurricane. You can have a tremendous hurricane over one spot, but then it passes. The winds are moving, sometimes faster, sometimes slower, and then there's a calm. And then there could be more hurricane afterwards. As it goes through the eye, comes the other part. Maybe that's what this is referring to. In any event, the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want to totally destroy. This is obviously a destructive force over here, but even in the destruction, there's always a Hatzolah Purta. There's always a little bit of comfort. There's always a little bit of ease, even in the most difficult situations. Next, Yala Brachim on lightning. We make a Brach Omer. Baruch, and Everett says Baruch means Baruch at Hashem HaKel Mechlam, Shekolcho Gevuras Amal Yolam. Now this sounds a little bit strange, because it says over here on lightning, we make the bracha shekochu grosim oliyolim. And that's not what we do. We make, again, halach lemaisa is a lot of interesting things about thunder and lightning. So by thunder, we make a kochu grosso. By lightning, we make an osim asabrashis. But if you hear them at the same time, you just make an osim asabrashis. But you don't say if you make a kochu grosim oliyolim. But normally, when you have the lightning, so you make osim asabrashis, and that technically parters you from the thunder if the thunder comes right away. But the thunder comes later on, so then you can make the bracha shekochu gruasa. And anyway, here it says, on lightning we make shekochu gruas moliolim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's might can be seen across the world. My brachim, what is lightning? Amarava, barka. No, that seems to be the same thing. When the Farshim explained, no, it means even a single bolt of lightning. You don't need brachim. Right? You might have thought you need to have two flashes of lightning in order to make the bracha. But it comes to tell us even one flash of lightning is enough. Yom Rava, he adds further, bracha, this lightning, yichidah, a single bolt, ubracha, chivra, or white lightning. Right? We have the expression, white lightning. It's so fast, it's white lightning. And ubracha, yurkosa, a greenish lightning. I'm not sure exactly what that is referenced to. In any event, the anane, the salkon, the karen, my ravis, the asin, the karen, the romans, or he says, if you see any of these things, if you see the sharp lightning, the white lightning, the green lightning, or if you see clouds that are moving over here, the Sulkin, Mekerim, Aravis, going on the western side, Vasi, Mekerim, Dromus, that came from the southern side, the Tarte, Anone, the Sulkin, Chodol, Apechaver. So if you see two clouds pushing one in front of the other, Kulu, Kashin, they're not good. They're all portenders of bad things to come. So what good does it do to know this? First, it's always daven, right? When people listen to the weather report and they say that there's going to be a hurricane, so everybody goes out and buys all the things that they'll need to survive. How many people run to the shul and say tehillim? How many people say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help us out over here? Everybody just tries to do everything on their own without realizing it all comes from Hashem. So sometimes Hashem sends warning signs over here that we should realize something is about to happen. Do something about it now before it happens. That's at nighttime. If you see these clouds over here, it's a bad sign at nighttime. Avo b'tzafra, if you see them during the daytime, less with mashasha. They don't have any substance. They're not significant at that point in time. Amar Shmuel by Yitzchak, hani anani d'tzafra, the morning clouds, less with mashasha. They're not something to be concerned about. The pasuk says, v'chasidchem kenon boker v'gomer. We're being unfortunately made fun of over here. And, you know, your kindness is like the morning clouds. They talk about when people make pledges for appeals and don't fulfill them, they're like making like morning clouds. So a person who is a big tzaddik, right? He's showing himself to be a tzaddik and he doesn't carry through what he said. So then he's like a morning cloud. He says a lot, but it doesn't do anything. So the morning clouds, they have no significance. Amar Rabbi Abayi, ha'amre inish, the people say, Kad Miftach Bave Mitra, when the gates open up over here for the rain, Bar Chamra Moch Shakecha Vigani. The people who are going and the camel drivers, the Bar Chamra is the camel driver over here, donkey driver rather, so he can basically close up shop and go back to sleep. Because if it's raining over here, you as a truck driver, the donkey driver here, you're not going to have much work to do because the wheat's going to be so cheap. There's a lot of rain coming that, you know, work, carrying all the wheat around, and you're going to try to sell it from one place to the other, but everyone's going to have very cheap wheat, so you're not going to make money. So you might as well go back to sleep. So here it says that the clouds open up and it is a good sign of rain. So how can you tell me the morning clouds are not a good sign of rain? What's this lokasha? Hod the karta be'eva, hod the karta be'anani. It depends. Are they thick clouds or are they thin clouds? If they're thick clouds, they symbolize rain. If they're thin clouds, they're just going to be dispersed. Amar Rav Alexandri, Amar Rav Yishuv and Levi, lo nivru re'imam ra'amim. The thunder wasn't created. Elo lifshot akmumis. To go and straighten out the curves. In other words, the mefarshim bring down over here, Marsha says over here that all these natural wonders, maybe he's saying about earthquakes as well, all these natural wonders over here are there for the sole purpose to make us think, to make us shudder, and to make us understand that we better straighten out our curved ways, because it's not going to be good for us if we don't. So they serve that main purpose. The lifshot akmumis shibalev, to straighten out the curves in our heart. In other words, the bent things that we're doing wrong, to straighten them out. Shinema, velukim asa, shiyu milfarav. These things were made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order that we should be in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and change our ways. Another statement that he made by Alexander, Yom Rav Yishmael Levi, as Keshis beyond none. If you see a rainbow in the sky, Sarah Shayip al Aponim, you should bow down, you should fall down on your face in front of that rainbow. Shinemar, Kamaria Keshis, when you see the rainbow, Ashiyib Anon Vagomer, it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a sign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore you should bow down. The Erev or Epol Aponai, and the pasuk continues, Yicheskel, I fell down on my face. In other words, not that you're bowing down, Rachmono Litzlan, to the rainbow, but you should acknowledge that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, not everybody liked that opinion. Layit Aloy B'Marov, in Eretz Yisrael, they cursed, they weren't happy about somebody that bowed down in front of the rainbow. Mishom, why? Because the obvious reason, the Mechzei command the Sogi L'Kashasa, because it looks like you're bowing down to the rainbow. Avol Baruch Eivad D'Mavarov, but you definitely do make a brach on it. This, by the way, this is a similar idea by Kiddush Levana, right? Did Kiddush Levana last night. So, on Matzah Shabbos. So, what happened? So, people look at the moon, you're supposed to look at the moon, and then you're supposed to turn away. Many say you turn away. So, because if you keep on looking at the moon, davening at the moon, it looks like you're Rachmana Litzlan, davening at the moon. So, you're supposed to look at the moon before you say the bracha, and you're supposed to face towards Mizrach, whichever way Eretz Yisrael is, and you're facing that direction, even if the moon's right behind you. You're supposed to face towards Eretz Yisrael, like you're always davening towards Eretz Yisrael, but you're not davening Rachmana Litzlan at the moon. So, to over here, we don't bow down, he says, towards the moon. And so they didn't like that custom because it looks like you're bowing down towards the Keshis, towards the rainbow. But you make a bracha. You do make a bracha. Vade Mevorach. You definitely make a bracha. My Mevorach, what's this bracha that you make over here? So, the Mefarsh should bring down. You say, Varach, Atar Shem Kem Chlam, Zocher HaBris. We have the opinion that you say, Zocher HaBris. That's the one opinion. In a brisa they learn, Rabbi Shmuel, Ben Osher, Yochel, Rokon, Omer, The bracha is Baruch Hashem Malkeinu Baruch Olam Neman Bevisa V'Kayim B'Mamoro. Now both of these should sound familiar. Not that we see so many rainbows, but if you ever been in a brachas bee contest, or if you ever have looked in the Siddur, so these are the brachas that we make, but not two brachas. We combine them. On Rapapa Hilkach. Therefore, we say them together. But then Yehuda brings down, since the rainbow has many colors, so this bracha can have many shapes to it, so to say, many colors to it, and that's why it can have two components to it: Zohar Bris. And Nemon Bivriso Vakaim Bamabaro Hilkuch. We say them both together. Nimru Travayu, Baruch Hashem Kem Chlam, Zocher HaBris, the Nemon Briso, Vikayim Bamabaro. Some say the word Vi Nemon, others say Nemon Briso. In any event, that's the gears that we say. Rainbows are a very interesting thing. It's not a good sign, right? When you see a rainbow, it means basically, like Coach Boke says, I was about to destroy the world again. You guys are doing stuff wrong, but I made a promise that I wouldn't destroy the world. So this is a reminder, this is a flashing red sign saying you're doing something wrong. And that has halach l'maisa consequences. We make a bracha, but you're not supposed to stare at the rainbow. That's why it says in this language over here, it always says if you glance at a rainbow as opposed to a mistakel, you shouldn't look. You should see it. You should say nebuch, I'm seeing a rainbow. Where it says anybody that doesn't see a rainbow in their entire lifetime, that's a very, very big schus, because it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to destroy the world during your lifetime. It says by Rishu B'Levi, he never saw a rainbow in his lifetime. And the whole generation didn't see a rainbow in his lifetime because of the greatness of Rishu B'Levi. So it's not a good idea to see a rainbow. What about telling somebody about a rainbow? So Gemara brings out, don't be so quick to tell somebody else about a rainbow as well. So it's not the type of thing that you rush necessarily to go tell other people, there's a rainbow. Okay. Different opinions about this. Okay. By the way, you're allowed to, if you see a rainbow at night, somehow if you can see a rainbow even at night, you'll have to make the bracha at night. It's very hard to see a rainbow at night, but if you do, you make the bracha even at night. Next, Alehariv Yalakvos, if you see mountains, if you see these smaller mountains, Gvos, you said with smaller mountains, but major mountains, there are significant mountains, then the bracha is said that we said in the Mishnah of Osam Asa Bereshis. Okay, Gemara says, Atu Kana Kolhani de Amron. I has to love Masa Bereshis, Ninu. Only on these you make it. What about all the other brachas that we said? Vaksiv, Brachim Lamotar Asa. So others say that's not the right pasuk. That pasuk doesn't talk about Masa Bereshis. And the Yavitz brings down over here that this is the wrong pasuk, and they really should have said, Osei Eretz B'Kolcho. And that's a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. In any event, whatever the pasuk is to say there are lots of maaseh bereishis. So why only on these? So Gemara says, you're right. Amar Abayi, Kroch v'tani. All of them should be read together. That all of these things, you make an oath in maaseh bereishis. Rava has a slightly different answer. Rava Amar, Hasam Mevarach Tarte. You make two brachas on the other things. Shekoch v'rosim ol yolam. And osim asim brachos. That's a simple understanding of this. Others explain, no, you can make whichever one you want. You don't make two brachos, but you make whichever bracha you want. As opposed to, osim asim brachos. Either the simple understanding is you make both, or that you only make one of the two, but you can pick whichever one you want. But hacha, on these over here, which aren't demonstrating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power from one end of the world to the other, because the mountain is stationary. So therefore, it doesn't demonstrate that Kodesh Baruch Hu's kol chagros moli olam, but it's certainly osim asim bereishis. So hacha osim asim bereishis only. Okay. Hacha osim asim bereishis ika shekol chagros olam. Lekker. Fine. Arim Shimon Levi, ro'era kia b'taros. If you see a clear sky, totally devoid of clouds, omer baruch osim, again bereishis again. So we have always on the side that says osim asim bereishis. A Masai, if you see a clear sign, you make the bracha. You see a clear sign, 10 minutes later, you make another bracha. Everybody, no. This is talking about kiyasa mitra. It's after the rains come. Kule lelya b'tzafra. It rains for a long time, and then asa isnasa umagayilu lishmaya. Then over here, the clouds are cleared away. Isnasa is a ruach tzfonis that blows away all the clouds. A northern wind comes, and now when you have this phenomenon after all this rain, and it makes an absolutely clear sky, that's when you make this bracha. Amar Abayi, kiyasa mitra. All right, I just read this, right? I skipped a lot. Umagayilu lishmaya. Or plegay the Rav Bar Papa, and this disagrees with what Rav Bar Papa says. Amar Chista, the Amar Rav Bar Papa, Amar Chista, the Yom Shchar Beis Hamikdash Lo Nires Rukiyah B'Taros. So we no longer have this anymore. This was a special phenomenon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had during the days of the Beis Hamikdash and Nebuchadnezzar, since the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. This is another one of the physical changes that occur in the world. Where else says that the fruits don't taste as good, the land doesn't produce as much produce. There are lots of changes in the physical world when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Shenemar, Al B'Shamayim Kadrus, the Sak Osim Kisusam, that they're covered up now, that it's not the same as it was beforehand. In any event, this bracha is not a bracha that we normally make. Turn to the Amud Beis. We go weiter. Tani Rabbanon, Haroa Chama B'Tkvasa. So this is a famous bracha. We all zocha, hopefully, to make it a whole bunch of times in our lifetimes, because you only make it once every 28 years. Last time was 2009. Okay? So in, 28 years, we're 37. So Mir Tzashem, we should all be zocha. Give everybody bracha. You should answer Amen. We should all be zocha to make the next time, Birchas HaChama, in 2037. Should be a big zechus for us. The people that really look forward to this bracha, and I think that helps them get to this bracha, right? If you're looking forward to doing something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll let you do it. So in 2037, Yishuv Levi Tzashem, Mo Bizalcha, and Yushalayim Yir HaKadosh, to make this bracha again, right? All of us have only made it two or three times in our lifetimes, depending on how old you are. So, young kids may not remember this. Yeah, 2009. So, any kid born after 2009 never was around in the world to make this bracha. Previous time before that was 81. I remember it. It was a major event. I'm sure most of you remember it also. I don't remember the one before that. I was a very little kid. Don't remember that one. So I remember two times in my life this bracha. Right? It's a Hashem. Should have another two at least. So, Aroa Chama B'Tkufasa, when you see the Chama returning to the starting point, we have some astronomical understandings that I won't go into. We'll just read the Gemara over here. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, all the stars were in their place when He put them into the Shemayim. And when it returns to that spot in the sky, which is a 28-year cycle over here, so then we make this bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, returns everything to its bright place. Haroh Chama Tefkasa. Now, the other things over here we don't do. We're not familiar with them. We don't understand them. We don't do them. So this Levana, Bigvurasa, doesn't mean Birchas Levana. Doesn't mean Kiddush Levana. It's another thing, but we don't do this. When the moon returns to its certain place, V'kochavim Misilosam, and the Kochavim reach a certain place, U'mazolus Kesidron, so then you make the Bracha, Omer Baruch, Atashem HaKem HaKlam, Osem Asa Bereishis. So the only one that we do this for is, again, Birchas HaKama, once every 20 years. The Amos Habi, when does this occur? Amar Abayi, Kol Chol Cheshnin. There's a large cycle of 28 years. There's a small cycle of 19 years. So that's what we have, a small cycle. There's seven leap years, and every 19 years, that's the small cycle. And the 28-year cycle is the large cycle. In any event, the sun moves as well. So this is the way everything moves in the universe. So Abaye says every 28 years you make this bracha. This is when the tkufa of Nisan, that's why we always make this around Pesach time. Last time we made it, it was Erev Pesach. Right? I remember us gathering out here in the parking lot, everybody gathering together. We said, this is a bracha. It says, you should try to make Berov Am Hadras Melech. It's a bracha once every 28 years. You want to do it in a large accompaniment. Unless it's going to be cloudy. It's really a shame. Remember, the last time we were worried it was going to be cloudy. It was a little bit cloudy, but you could see the sun, Baruch Hashem. So if you're worried that it's going to get cloudy later on, then you make the bracha even be yechidus right away in the morning. But otherwise, Berov Am Hadras Melech, we make this bracha a big fanfare altogether. And you make this bracha when the tkufa of Nisan is b'shaptoi. Shaptoi is the word that we use for Saturn. The planet Saturn is biurto tetlos nigi arba. Again, this is complicated astronomy over here that the Gemara and Rashi talk about. We have the Gemara in other places. So again, the way the planets are set up in the sky, so they're each in a place at a certain point in time. So this place where Saturn is at the start of the certain period of time of the day of the Tkufa of Nisan, so that's exactly the way it was at the time of being put into the sky, and therefore, at this point, we say, oh, some aspirations. By us seeing this over here, we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made everything. When you see the Yam, and I pointed out the other day when we learned this in the Mishnah, I'll say it again over here, big machlok is in the poskim. Does this mean the oceans, or does this mean the Mediterranean Sea, or could it mean both? So in any event, when you see them, you make the bracha of Osem Aseverations. So you only do this leprakim. If you only do this when you make it, if you live there every day, if you see the Mediterranean every day, so you don't make this bracha every day, you'll make it once in your lifetime, when you hit bar mitzvah, and that's it. You never make it again, because you're there every day. You see it every day. So these things you only make if you haven't seen them for 30 days. 30 days is defined as 30 days in between the day that you last saw it and the day that you're seeing it now. So 30 full days go by without you seeing it, so then you get a chance to make all these brachas again. The same thing is true for all of these phenomena, with the exception of a storm, and the rainbows and the winds and things like that, that's per storm. So if you hear thunder at night and it's the same storm in the morning, you don't make another kochel gerasa, right? But if it's a new storm, there's a storm on Sunday and there's another storm on Thursday, so then you would make it. Here you don't wait 30 days. So events that happen, it's till when the event is over. An item that you're making it on, it's only once every 30 days. And if you see it within that 30 days, you start the clock again. So somebody who lives near the Atlantic Ocean would not make you live in Long Beach, right? You see the Atlantic Ocean every day. So you're not going to make this bracha. A guy lives in Iowa, and he comes to, the Atlantic Ocean, you make the bracha. So people that live in the middle of the country don't see the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean. It's a question whether you make a separate bracha on the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. Are they all connected? So some suggest they're all connected, so it's one bracha. No, so you can make a bracha mislam when you see it there. So when people go to California, they're making a bracha, they see the Pacific Ocean, certainly without Shemu Machus, but even with Shemu Machus, I think you can say the bracha, because you haven't seen it in 30 days. Now, if you travel there every week, you're going on business or whatever, so then you don't make the bracha all the time. So lefrakim, ad kama. So that's it is a month. A month is either 29 or 30 days. So a month is either 29 or 30 days. So they suffic brachas l'akel. So it's a significant time. It's considered that it's gone from your memory. The other day, if you don't see a person for 30 days, you make a shechianu, right? So the idea of 30 days is a significant period of time. So the shloshim period of time is a significant period of time. It moves to a next level. That was a year. We don't say you forget after 30 days, but it's a significant period of time. That's considered an amount of time that's significant. Okay. Ad kama, I'm Rabbi Rabba, Ad Shloshim Yom. That's the prokim, that's the definition. I'm Rabbi Rabba, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, Haroa Pras. Now, we're talking about, when you see these rivers, you make the bracha, also masturbation when you see certain rivers, but only if they haven't been manipulated by man. Once man manipulates it, you can't say, oh, Sima Aseverations. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it. No, man manipulated it. Nothing wrong. It doesn't say you're not allowed to do this. But once man manipulates it, you can't say, this is oh, Sima Aseverations, right? You have a man-made lake, so you don't make oh, Sima Aseverations on this man-made lake. It was made 20 years ago. So you don't make an oh, Sima Aseverations. So, Harah Pras Agishru de Bavel, if you, at a certain point, was the bridge of Bavel. So we don't know where these places are exactly. They knew where these places were. So, below that point, downstream from that point, they already diverted the river. So anything that you see below that is not necessarily osim hazabreishis. But they didn't divert it upstream from here. So if you're upstream or at this point, you can still make the bracha, omer baruch osim hazabreishis. Again, osim hazabreishis always means osim hazabreishis. Sometimes it brings the gears on the side, sometimes it doesn't, but it always means osim hazabreishis. Right, idna, already at the time of the Gemara, nowadays, the Shanuya Parsoi, they already diverted that river even from that point. So that point already in Osim Hashemeshes. You have to go further upstream, the Beishvor Ula El. Only from Beishvor and upwards, that's when you can make the bracha. And Yosef Omer, no. Me'i the Kira Ula El. No, it was even further upstream. They had diverted the water, so you have to go even further upstream to go make the bracha of Osim Hashemeshes. Haroa Diglas. Diglas is the Tigris, right? Haroa Diglas. Agishwa Dishvisinta, that's a certain place. Again, the bridge of Dishvisinta. So on below that, it had already been diverted. Above that, it hadn't been diverted. So Omer Baruch Osei Masiv Reishis. What does the words Mai Chideko, what does the word Chideko mean? So Omer Vashi, Shemeim of Chodin, the waters are very sharp, the Kalin, and they're light. In other words, it's very healthy waters, very good for you. It makes you sharp, and they're light waters. My pras, what does the word pras mean? Now the chidekel is another word over here for the Tigris, for the diglas. So we'll see in a moment that the my pras, what does pras mean? So shemeim of parin v'ravin, those waters are very good for you. They help you get better. Parin v'ravin. The reason why the people of Mechuzah are so sharp is Mishum Dishasu Maya Diglas. They drink the waters of the Diglas, which is the Chidek, which we said is very sharp. It makes you sharp. Hai Digichure, that they become very ruddy, red, Mishum Dimishamshe Biyamama. That's a totally different phenomena because they have relations during the daytime when the sun is out, so to say, so their children are ruddy. Hai Dinaide Enayu, why do their eyes seem to move around, dart around a lot. Mishum the dairu b'deisafel, because they live in a dark place, so they're constantly searching out light, moving about. That's why their eyes dart about. Okay. Ala gishomim, by rains we say a certain bracha. Shemar says, Yala gishomim matova meitiv avarech. Are you telling me in the Mishnah you make the bracha tova meitiv? From Rabbi Avoh, Rami Lovim Lasti. So we learned either from Rabbi Avoh from Rabbi Isa. Tana, we learned meyamin sayim avarech ala gishomim. From when do you make a bracha on the gishomim? When the chasin goes up to greet the kala, in other words, when the rains, Rashi says, a couple of explanations, when the rains drop down, and there's a puddle already here, and the puddle pops back up, so to say. So it drops in the puddle and splashes. Others say it's when different rivulets on the ground from the rain come and join each other. When there's enough rain that you have these rivulets joining each other on the ground. What bracha do you make? Here's going to be the kasha. Or Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't say hatova meitiv. You know, Mishnah we said on rains you make hatova meitiv. It's good for you, good for the other farmers. But here it doesn't say make hatova meitiv. That's the stira, that's the kasha. Or Yehuda, modem anach loch hakol tipa v'tipa sharadet alonu. We say thank you Hashem for each drop of water that you give us. Rabbi Yochanan adds to this Messiah Bohachi. He adds ilu pilu mali shira kayam v'chule. This sounds very familiar. It should, because it's from Yishtabach. From Nishmas. So it's a familiar bracha to us, and it ends with the bracha of Yishtabach. And on my speaking Lord of Hashem Okenu, Achish Yishtachaveh, Baruch Atah Hashem, Rov Ha'odos. Where it says, Rov Ha'odos, Lo Kol Ha'odos. You're only saying thank you Hashem for most of his Ha'odos, and not all of them. So when it says, Omer Rav, yeah, Omer Eima Hakel Ha'odos, the God of Ha'odos. In other words, all the Ha'odos, we thank you Hashem. In other words, this is the bracha that you make. And that's why Rapapa says, I'm Rapapa Hilkach, Nimrilu Tavayu. We say both of these ideas, Rov Hodos, Vakel Hodos. We add various things over here to point out all the great things of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the bracha that you make on rain. Kasha, you said in the Mishnah you make the bracha. Hatov Yameitiv, Yelak Kasha. So okay, you explained this bracha. Very good. We now understand this bracha, but it's different than Hatov Yameitiv. So why in the Mishnah do we make Hatov Yameitiv? And here it says you make this longer bracha. What is it, Lokasha? Hod Mashma, Hod Shoma Mashma, Hod Chozu Machse. Depends. Did I see the rain or did I hear about the rain? If you hear about the rain, so then you make this bracha. If you see the rain, you make that bracha. Moreh says, the Shoma Mashma, Hainu Besoros Tovos. If I hear about something good, that's Besoros Tovos. That's Hatova Meitiv. Why would you need to tell me, oh, you hear something good, on such as rain, you have to make Hatova Meitiv. You told me already, if I hear something good, I say Hatova Meitiv. It's good for me, it's good for everybody else. So why would it reiterate? Once you tell me this general rule, you don't have to tell me the specifics. So you didn't want me to tell me again for rain. Of course rain is good. They were an agrarian society. Rain was essential. So of course rain is good. So therefore, I wouldn't need you to tell me. Once you tell me you make a bracha on good, I wouldn't need you to tell me you make a bracha on rain. Hatol v'meit. Shmuel says, you're right. Both of them are talking about that you see it. When you make this longer bracha, when you make hatol v'meit. When? There's a little bit of rain, then you make one bracha. If there's a lot of rain, then you make the other bracha. Alternatively, you might say, no, both of them are talking about there's a lot of rain. Lokasha. If you have rain, if you have ground, then you make this longer bracha. And then you make that tova meitiv. Where it says, isle ara, hatova meitiv. If you have land, you make that tova meitiv. Is that true? For we learn, Tanya and Abraisa, it should be Tanya instead of Tanan. Bought a bais chadash, if a person builds a house, we call it a kelim kadosh, or he purchases new utensils. So you don't make a tova meitiv. Omer baruch shachyonim kimonim yonim, zamanaseh. You don't make a tova meitiv. So how can you tell me over here you make a tova meitiv? That's what it says. Now we're not goris the next words because they're really the answer over here. Shalom v'shalachayim, omer atova meitiv, we're not goris over here because that's really the answer. You make a shechiyonu when it's only good for you, you make a tova meitiv if it's good for everybody else. So Gemara says, lokasha, hod yisli shutvis, you make a tova meitiv if you have a partner. So it's good for you, it's good for your partner. That's when you make a tova meitiv. Hod lesli shutvis, then you just make a shechiyonu. So there's no kasha over here. Gemara says again, kasha tanya, k'tzor shaldova, the bottom line is, al shalohu omer baruch shechiyonu kimonu, al shalohu shalchaveru omer baruch atovim meitiv. When things happen to you that are good for you alone, then you make a shechiyonu. If it's good for you and good for other people, then you make a tovim meitiv. V'kol hecho deles lachrinei bahadei, lo mebaruch atovim meitiv. The Gemara questions this and says, whenever you don't have anybody else involved, you don't make a tovim meitiv. V'atanya, we're learning the braisa. Armulei yol de'ishto zocher, they say your wife gives birth to a boy. Omer baruch atovim meitiv, it's good for you, good for everybody else. So is that who's it good? I'm sorry, you make a tova meitiv, but it's only good for you. So you're the one that has a son. So why is it good for anybody else? So why are you making a tova meitiv? You should make a shechiyanu. So it says, "Hosam nami diika ishto baday." Your wife is with you. The nicha love is zochah. She also wants a boy. Why does she want a boy? Because this is a financial arrangement over here. A girl is going to cost the money, and a boy is going to support them. And also, when she gets older, she's going to want a boy to lean on. They didn't know about the wonderful benefits in old age that a girl has. The girls usually take care of the parents. But they would literally say, I want a child. We have many places. They would daven, I need a child to help support me when I get older. So therefore, Atova Meitiv was not only good for the husband. He'd have somebody to take over the business with him, somebody to work with him in the factory, on the farm, whatever. But for the wife, it was good as well. She'd have somebody to support her in her old age, somebody to lean upon in her old age. That's why the bracha is Atova Meitiv. So Rashi Bar Salavechik, the Rav Zatzal, Rav Shechta said this over, he said, this was in those days, one of the reasons the Vilna Gaon brings down why they wanted boys more than girls was because they could have more than one wife, right? So if they had boys, so the boys could have multiple wives and they could have multiple grandchildren. If they had a girl, she'd only have one husband, they would have less grandchildren. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. And that's why they wanted boys more than girls. The Rav says nowadays that they don't have many, nobody has more than one wife. She says you make a tova meitiv on a girl as well because no difference anymore. People want a girl just as much as they want a boy. Lav dafka. Although you see in China, when they had only one child, so they almost by a 2-to-1 margin just about picked a boy over a girl. That's just human nature. The boy will take over the business. The boy, it's from a financial point of view, not that you'll love a boy more than a girl, vice versa. The women also wanted a boy. There was something that was a financial interest to them. Toshma, gotta go by it. Toshma, meis aviv hu yarsho b'tchila. If a person Nebuch loses his father, and first hu yarsho, and you inherit him, so b'tchila omer baruch dynamis. First you make a baruch dynamis. Nebuch, he lost the person, but then l'besof omer baruch atova meitiv. You make atova meitiv. It's only good for you. That's the kasha. Shmuel says, "Hasam nami diko ache dekoyarsi b'adei." No, there's a brother that's also going to inherit with you. Toshma shinu yayin ein tzorach levarich. They bring out another glass of wine. You don't make another bar priya gofen. Shinu makom. But if you move to a different place, you go from this room and you go to another room, then you do have to make a new bar priya gofen. It's a hesach adas. Tzorach levarich. But if they bring out a fancier new wine, Abel Omer, you have to bring out and fancy. When you bring out a fancy new wine, you make a bracha tova meitiv. You do make a new special bracha. Call that tova meitiv on a new fancy wine. We're often not knowing to make this with shemu malchus. We're not really sure is this a better wine or not. But if it really is, they bring out the $100 bottle of wine after they bring out the $399 bottle of wine. So then you really should make a bracha tova meitiv with shemu malchus. They bring out by the seder in order. People are switching wines at the seder. They say you should pour a little bit of wine from each of the types of wine you're going to have into the first cup. So this way you've already had it.
And therefore, you don't have the question. If you have the second cup of wine, it's a better wine. You have to make a tova meitiv or not. So you get around that. They bring down, pour a little bit into each cup. If you're using the same type of wine, no problem. No, he's putting a very little bit, very little bit. So you see, well, let me just finish. You see him say, baruch atov ameitiv. You see him make a baruch atov ameitiv, and it's only good for you. So Gemara says, no, hasam nami, di kabnei chabura, b'shasu badei. No, there are many other people drinking this bottle of wine with you. Who drinks alone? So therefore, everybody's making the atov ameitiv. It's good for me, and it's good for you. So we'll stop over here. Everybody have a wonderful day.